Back to old Babylon, folks. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Eurofolk Radio. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, part three of the origin of the Hungarians. And the last 3 days, Pastor Steve, I took a trip to India just to check out this whole story.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true. All right. No, I was actually in Central Illinois doing some work on my property around there, but this is a fascinating study. I'll put the link in the chat room momentarily. The myths of the Huns, and what we concluded so far is that the legends of Hunor and Magor, the Huns and Magyars. There were two related tribes, and they had a daughter who, there was a flood myth associated with the daughter, and they were under the leadership of Nimrod for a while, so it's quite possible, Steve, that they are Hamites, a Hamitic tribe that went north. But in doing more research on the Sumerians, it is told by certain scholars that they were probably white people who survived the flood. So if it's true that they're Indo-Aryans and they lived up in the mountains of India and or
right.
Afghanistan.
We're talking about them occupying the high country.
Right, okay. Right. And there's all kinds of legends about Adamites occupying the high country. Okay. And in India, we know that the even later Indians, the sons of Abraham, when Abraham sent the sons of Keturah east, they settled in India also and began the religion of Brahman. Okay. Brahman was their deity. And the priesthood was called Brahmins. You know, so the connection with Abraham is very strong. However, there were people living there even before these Keturites arrived there. So it looks like we've got three really good candidates. They're either Hamites that migrated north, or they're Indo-Aryans who came down from the mountains after the flood, which washed down the Tigris and Euphrates area. There's evidence of 10 or 30 foot thick freshwater silt that is underneath the dirt there in the Tigris-Euphrates area. So it's any one of those three. You know, they're either Hamites.
Well, they were definitely white people.
Oh, yeah.
The demographics of that area now are not what they were then. Everything has drastically changed.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah.
And these people stayed among themselves. They married among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They isolated themselves among their particular tribal affiliations.
Right.
And they didn't take outsiders in because they were foreigners, racial
right.
aliens.
Yeah. It turns out the Epic of Gilgamesh is a Sumerian epic. So it's quite possible that these are Indo-Aryans, pre-flood Indo-Aryans, who came down and resettled that area after the flood. So they might have had warning, too.
That isn't the guy that had the island, is it?
What island?
Gilgamesh Island?
Oh, no.
Gileans. Never mind.
Oh, 10 demerits for that one. All right.
I'm feeling a little frosty tonight, folks.
Yeah, well, right.
We've had so much happen.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Right. Yes.
I have ordered a case of the scriptures from the donation the guy gave me.
Uh-huh.
And I have bought the mailing
Matt.
Envelope.
Yeah.
I have the mailers. And pretty much have spent the donation. I'll pick up postage myself.
Okay.
That'll be my donation. But that gives us 10 Bibles that we're going to mail out. I've already got the first envelope addressed to one of the brothers. We're not said that was a stinker.
That was such a stinker, it contributed to global warming.
There you go. Flatulence.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Cow flatulence.
Yeah, but we're in process with the prisoner fund. Any donations will be appreciated. You can send them to me. My address is on my website. We're doing it. You know, it's not gonna happen. It's already happening.
Yes.
Got the case of Bibles on the way. They'll be here next week. I've got the mailing envelope. I've got one already mailed out, ready to mail out as soon as I get the Bibles.
Right.
So we're going to take care of these white prisoners that need accurate Bibles instead of the garbage they give them in prison.
Right.
They are approved Bibles. They have glued backs instead of loose backs, not hard covers, because the prison will rip the covers off.
Oh, wow.
They'll virtually destroy the Bibles. So these are a Bureau of Prison that would be federally approved.
Okay.
I had to go through all of that when I was in prison. Anything that I would get had to be an approved format for the books. So that's why they have these little inexpensive copies of the scripture. Not that they're junk Bibles. They're very, very nice. But they'll pass muster in the BOP. So we're going to get the prisoners their scriptures. And that's the latest update. And I want to thank Mark again for the lovely donation. We got it going on, folks. Here we go.
Yeah, and also we received a donation from Matt in California. Thank you, Matt, for the same purpose. And a donation to Eurofolk Radio and to the pastors of Eurofolk Radio as well. So thank you very much, Matt. Much appreciated. And those Bibles are going to sell like hotcakes. We already have one person that's designated for a Bible. And I had his name on the tip of my tongue, but he has.
I don't want to put that out. But
no, I'm talking about the prisoner. The prisoner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But let's do the prison updates on the last Friday of the month.
Okay. It is Brother Aaron Eaton.
Aaron Eaton. Yes. Thank you.
And he's out in Umatilla, Oregon. And
right.
Got the envelope already made out.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
Yeah, and that prison.
I don't want to give out any names and dox anybody.
No.
We'll just use like a first name. Thank you, Brother So and So, for a donation. Right. And
Fred Flintstone.
I said. I forget what I said.
Right.
Matt. Yeah. Did I call
him? No, you said Mark. You said Mark.
Mark.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's Matt.
It's Matt. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Matt from California.
The case of the Bibles with the shipping and everything was $143.75. I had a balance left over of $6.25 with which I purchased. they have to get the mailing envelopes.
Right.
I had to buy them. So, and then it was more than the $6.25 I kicked in, and I'll pick up the postage.
Yes.
So that's my tithe to the
work. Very good. But Mr. Eaton has a whole congregation, a Christian Identity congregation at that prison. That's a state prison, Oregon. And they are allowing them to have Christian Identity meetings.
Okay.
It's one of the few in the country that allows CI meetings, okay?
Well, I imagine once Aaron gets his Bible, that there are going to be more that want them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We're just not going to send these things out like candy bars.
Right.
Because they cost you know, too much to do that. Well, they have to be people that are really serious, not hobbyists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's like the head pastor of that group, and he says he's got people waiting in line, you know, for these Bibles, but we're only going to send one per prison, you know, unless we, you know, have a lot of them. But, you know, what I've been doing, I've been sending out these $1, what's that, Dollar Tree Bibles printed in China. Okay. They're a King James Version. The type is so small you need a magnifying glass to read it.
Well.
So they'll love these. Okay. All right.
If there are so many prisoners, you know, I'm going to get a donation. I've got 10 Bibles. And this pastor certifies that these people are serious. I'm going to send the guy a Bible.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to try to do the one per prison. Each guy needs his own. Like I had mine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be stingy with them. Now, if I have to kick in some more money, this is important.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Until until we get a few spread around and there's more people from the same prison who want them. Yeah, sure. You know. So, but right now we've only got 10, and you know we'll just keep on ordering them as we go along. All right. Okay. So everybody, thank you. Thank you for your concern, and prayers would be appreciated too, because a lot of these prisons, they don't allow identity gatherings. Very, very few prisons allow identity gatherings.
Very few.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe 10, you know, I'm just guessing, but I'd be surprised if there were 10. Okay. So they allow individuals to practice their you know, our religion, but not in groups. They really don't like CI guys getting together in groups. They don't like it at all. Okay. And it's forbidden.
Well, the management doesn't like it, but the guards love it because it's less work for them.
Right.
Because the CI guys never get in any trouble.
Right.
They walk the walk. They walk it in prison.
Right.
And they will not associate. They don't do the gang thing. And their behavior is usually exemplary, but that's not what the prison wardens want. They want trouble to justify more force and more people and more money.
Right.
It is a business. You need to remember that. It is a for-profit business.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll read some more letters in a couple of weeks, and then hopefully we'll have a few Bibles sent out by then. Okay, so we're in this document. Who are the myths of the Hungarians? My screen just scrolled up all by itself. We're past Sumeria Chaldea. In that heading, Sumeria Chaldea, and I think it's a second paragraph.
It's on their way to Canaan. We know that Abraham and his family stopped and settled in Charan, okay?
Yeah.
I've got it up in big print. So
yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, and then we'll take it. Very good.
All right, pardon me there. On their way to Canaan, we know that Abraham and his family stopped and settled in Charan, the land of the Hurrians and Mitanni. It is meaningful that even though that was an Akkadian family, they willingly stayed in a land whose inhabitants were closely related with the Sumerians that they had left behind. And in fact, most of Abraham's relatives remained there and did not go with him to the promised land. That he was attached to his Shemitic bloodline is evident by the fact that he did not want that his offspring would marry other women than his own brother's descent, not necessarily brothers, as in
racial
next
descent.
Kin brothers, racial brothers.
Right.
And also his brothers would have kept their lineage pure.
Amen.
Nevertheless, these Akkadian Hebrews, seem to have felt comfortable within the Sumerian Subarian environment, as many Jews and Roma feel at home in Hungary since centuries.
contemporary Jews, yeah.
Right.
Roma okay. means Roma, Romanians, I would imagine.
No, Roma is the gypsies.
Oh, okay.
They're gypsies, and they are mixed well.
They're mixed.
Mutt people.
Uh-huh.
Aram settled in Canaan. I talked about the racial demographics changing. Well, mm-hmm. in Hungary, the Hungarian gypsies and the Jews have been expelled a lot. They have a real problem there.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have. They want them out. Hungary has stopped mm-hmm. the immigration business, and they're making it hot for these others. Because the gypsies are a real problem.
Right.
Abraham settled in Canaan. But, well, they steal, they extort, they connive,
organized crime. That's organized crime.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But kept in touch with his family in Aram Naharaim. He visited also Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, where his offspring would have sojourned sometime later. He was surely regarded as an Apiru by the Egyptians. But it is known that the term Apiru did not convey a meaning defined nationality, but rather a social status. This word was used generally for Shemitic tribes, but they may have included also non-Shemitic people, like the term Gypsy that refers mainly to Roma, but not only, or even Cossack, that is usually associated with Russians, but indeed is not related with ethnicity. Okay. So Abraham was an Akkadian by nationality, but also a Habiru. Nevertheless, according to his original homeland and his permanent contact with his family in Haran, he may have been also considered as one of the Kasdim. Okay, mm-hmm. Those were the Chaldeans.
Right.
His son, Yitzchak, and his grandson, Yaakov, kept strongly bound to their Semitic lineage and married their cousins. Then Yaakov and all his family settled in Egypt to stay there for a long time.
Okay, so that gets us into well-known biblical stories here.
Right. This is giving the background travels
mm-hmm.
before all the stuff is listed in the Bible. By the time of the Israelite exodus from Egypt to Canaan, a mysterious people arose in southern Mesopotamia, the Kassites, Kassu. They came from a still unknown place, and after they lost control of Babylon, they retreated to the Zagros Mounts and had not any further history. Very likely they, and not the Neo-Babylonian Chaldeans, were the authentic Kasdim.
Okay.
The Kassites apparently spoke a language similar to Sumerian, if not identical, and probably they were indeed the Sumerians that came to take their land back after having been displaced by the Akkadians centuries before. Then the land of Shinar was no longer structured as autonomous city-states, but as a centralized kingdom. Therefore, they founded their own capital, Dur-Kurigalzu. The Kassites were excellent horse riders, a feature that primarily distinguished the peoples of the north, namely, those coming from the land of Subartu Mitanni, peoples that were linked with Sumerians since the earliest times. In fact, the Zagros region, a kind of alliance between the northern and southern peoples, might have taken place, of which it will be discussed later in this essay. By some Kassite king names, which are evidently Indic, For example, Shurias equals Surya. Mm-hmm. Marutash equals Marut. Indabugash equals Indrabaga. We can understand that they were also influenced by Hurrians or perhaps by the Medes, that in a later period where the owners of the Zagros and appointed the Magi as their priestly caste. Such kind of alliances between Sumerian, Sumerian tribes and Indo-Aryan people seem to have been very common and even achieved in taking control of the whole Mesopotamia during that period. The Kassite kingdom in the south preceded about 90 years, the Mitanni kingdom in the north, and survived it for another 90 years. Okay. At this point, the other meaning of the word Kasdim, Chaldeans, and their relationship with Sumerians allows us to link our reasoning again with the Hungarian-Hebrew connection. Dynasty that ruled over Babylon about 130 years after the Kassites were dethroned is known as Chaldean, the one to which Nebuchadnezzar the Great belonged. Now let us consider who the Chaldeans are in the book of Daniel.
Okay, let me just interject here. He's made several references to India, okay? And so the idea that these Sumerians, who ultimately became known as the Magyars and Hungars, the Hungarians, probably had their origin in India. And the language, as we have talked about earlier, is also very similar to Sanskrit. So it seems to me that Sanskrit is probably the original language of India. And then the sons of Keturah probably added a lot of Shemitic terms to Sanskrit. Hence, we see a close connection to Sanskrit and Hebrew once the Indo-Aryans, once these sons of Keturah merged with them in India. Back to you.
Right. And like German. German has a tremendous amount of Hebrew words in it.
Right.
Welsh, almost straight Hebrew. So you want to read this next little section while I get another cup of coffee?
Yeah, okay.
I need a coffee break. Go ahead.
This is Book of Daniel. Youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and endowed with knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and that he should teach them the learning and the language of the Kasidim. As Daniel 1:4. So probably the Chaldean, the Magi, I think this is a reference to the Magi in the next sentence. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, Magi, and the enchanters, and the sorcerers, and the Kasdim, to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. Then spoke the Kasdim to the king in the Aramaic language. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered the Kasdim, the thing is gone from me. If you don't make known to me the dream and the interpretation of it, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. That's Daniel chapter 2, verses 2, 4, and 5. The Kasdim answered before the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can show the king's matter, because no king, lord, or ruler has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Kasdai. Then came in the magicians, the enchanters, the Kasdim, and soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known to me the interpretation of it. The king cried aloud to bring in the enchanters, the Kasdim, and soothsayers. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, I say your father, made him master of the magicians, enchanters, Kasdim, and soothsayers. So these were the Magi of the Chaldeans, of the Sumerians, etc., etc. because all these terms, the Chaldeans, Hasidim, or Kazdim, probably means wisdom. But
Hasidim means pious.
Pious, okay. Okay, and so that's probably a word borrowed from the Indo-Aryan, right, from the Sanskrit. And then we have, the Sumerians, the Kazdim, the Chaldeans, and these various other tribes all living in the same area. So it's probably all of these tribes are related to each other, but they all went their own ways, especially after the breakup of Nimrod's kingdom and the scattering
Correct.
Of the languages.
It says right in Scripture that they were scattered all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, I'll take it to the next heading. It results evident that here the Chaldeans, Kazdim, are not a people but a kind of social class or caste associated with the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, soothsayers. Namely, they were astrologers, exactly like the Magi in Persia. They probably belonged to a different people as they had their own language, the language of the Kazdim. Now, it's interesting, language. These guys, since they were astrologers and astronomers, would have known mathematics very,
Correct.
Very well. Okay.
And the Chaldean tongue is mm-hmm. very similar to Hebrew, except
right?
for spelling and pronunciation.
Right. Okay. So we're getting really, really close here. The Chaldean, so they're a related people. There's no doubt that they're a related people, but not necessarily Shemites. Okay, continuing. In fact, who is the priest? Baalbek? The guy who tried to curse Israel, but whenever he cursed Israel, he blessed them instead. He was probably a Kazdim, a Chaldean priest.
Oh, Balak?
Balak, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably a Kazdim. Because he's not identified. His origin is not identified in Scripture, but this is probably who he is. Well, let's continue.
Well, he was an import. They had to bring him in.
Right, right. So he's probably
and
a Chaldean
later
priest,
on, he couldn't curse him, but later on, he was caught in the battle, and he was with them, and they killed him.
Right. Right, yeah. So he was probably one of these, Sumerians, so-called, okay? But they spoke to the king in Aramaic, the Assyrian tongue of Babylon. Consequently, they may have been related to former rulers of the city, restored by the Neo-Babylonian kings to their influent position because of their qualities. Well, they had, dynasties, came and went in those days, just like in Egypt, they came and went.
Well, like governments come and go here.
There you go. The likely hypothesis is that after the Kassites were defeated by the joint Assyrian-Elamite armies and the second dynasty of Isin took the power, they withdrew to the Zagros Mountains, where probably the old Sumerians settled after having been obliterated from history by the rising Shemites that took complete control over the whole of Mesopotamia. When the second dynasty of Isin came to an end, it was replaced by the Chaldean dynasty. But who were exactly these Chaldeans and where they came from is still a subject to discussion. Those conventionally regarded as Chaldeans are indeed the southern branch of the Assyrians, the descent of the ancient Akkadians, namely a Shemitic people to which the royal house belonged. It was the land that was known by the Assyrians as Kaldu, K-A-L-D-U, maybe an equivalent of the biblical Shinar, having in mind the early inhabitants, the Sumerians. Therefore, it is very likely that Sumerian was the lineage of the Babylonian astrologers, although not that of the people and not even the king, whose language was Aramaic. That is Shemitic, like Hebrew. The mysterious language of the Kazdim should have been none other than Sumerian. They were the holders of the religious authority, and it is a fact that the presence of the Hebrews in this circle is not unlikely. Let's see. Go ahead. I lost my place here because...
They were the holders of the religious authority, and it is, yeah. in fact, that the ancient Babylonian mysteries were built around the myths of Nimrod.
Right. Right.
Who was deified as Merodach Marduk, and Nimrod was a Sumerian.
Okay. All right, so maybe Nimrod was originally a Sumerian name adopted by Nimrod the Hamite. Okay.
Could be.
Yeah, all right. The presence of Hebrews in this circle is not unlikely, as they have been always appreciated for their prophetic skills. Indeed, the first act of King Nebuchadnezzar after his conquest of Jerusalem was to choose young Israelites to be appointed as Kazdim, quote-unquote. And Daniel himself was raised to the rank of Rab Mag, head of the Magi. Also, Yosef was the wise one of Egypt and regarded as a diviner, Genesis 44:15. With Daniel, at least other three Jews, or Judahites, were appointed as Kazdim, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. So, from the book of Daniel, we understand that the Chaldeans were like the Persian Magi, a social class into which individuals of different ethnic backgrounds may be accepted if they fulfill particular requirements and follow an initiation ritual. They were priests. This spiritual development is a characteristic that Hebrews have in a special way, so that along history, many of them have reached important positions at the royal courts as well as in, he says, democratic institutions. Okay. So,
yeah, well.
Okay, so we have our prophets and the Chaldeans had theirs, but they were more like, astrologers / astronomers. But gazing at the stars and recording the motions of the stars, recording eclipses, et cetera, that was their specialty, and they were good at it. Over to you.
Well, they could use that information to tell what weather was going to come.
Right.
And a number of other things. Positioning of the planet as far as a long winter or a short winter. I mean, they had a lot of knowledge, which continues on in today. How do you think they do things today? They look at all these different signs and they compile stuff. A lot of it's computerized today.
Right.
So,
they were able to predict eclipses. They could predict eclipses from, their study of the skies.
Yeah, very accurately. Mm-hmm. Very accurately today.
Yeah.
The next section is called the Northern Complexity. Southern Mesopotamia was inhabited by different peoples belonging to unrelated origins. And in the Neo-Babylonian period, we find that a Shemitic dynasty is ruling, but the early Sumerians are still present as a very influential caste close to the king. So that the dynasty itself is called after them, Chaldean. The situation in northern Mesopotamia is even more complex indeed. This land is not only the heart of the Assyrian realm, that's Shemitic, but also the very birthplace of the Indo-Aryan languages.
Okay.
The old form of Sanskrit spoken by the Hurrians. And is also the original country of the non-Aryan Eurasian people. Such a complexity justifies the confusion and divergences between historians and scholars that usually associate peoples with languages and consequently leading their research to a dead end.
Well, the Sumerians did, they were led by Aryans, but they did have slaves, probably Dravidian slaves that were referred to as the Blackheads. They were shorter people, but they had, dark hair and probably dark skin too. But those were probably their slaves / workers. But the leaders were obviously white, an Aryan group, probably from India. Or back to you.
Uh-huh. Like the Indians of today are short, swarthy, dark-headed.
Mm. Right.
Okay. In the early period, we find the kingdom of Hanigalbat, a joint Hurrian-Mitanni state. We have already considered the possible identity of ancient Magyars with the Mitanni, whose land was known as Magor Mada Matien Subartu Saparta. Stroke, you know.
Right.
In Hurrian territory. Likewise, we know that Hungarians are not Indo-Aryan, and their language is agglutinative. Agglutinative. It's all glued together.
Mm-hmm, right.
Not Indo-European. Yet ancient documents reveal that the language of Mitanni was Hurrian. There is a clear evidence of the use of Indic vocabulary in the Mitanni documents. The gods of the Mitanni treaties are specifically Vedic gods. Varun and Mitra, Indra,
right.
And Satyu. And in addition, there are a series of names of the noblemen or aristocracy of Mitanni, which are clearly Indic, as well as the Mitanni kings, Bharatarna, Saushatar, Arta Ama, Shutarma, Tushrata or Dushrata, Satvara or Satiwaza, Varashata. All of them are undoubtedly Sanskrit names.
Okay, well, here again, as we surmised earlier, they're probably, the Mitanni are probably the northernmost survivors of Noah's flood that came down from the Indian mountains and settled down there.
Correct.
Okay, that's probably, so, you know, I question his, which would make them Indo-Aryan. I mean, but maybe he's using Aryan in a different sense. You know, that the that we might be using it here, but they're definitely from India. Everything that we've said so far indicates that they came down, and their language was Sanskrit. Okay, that comes from India. So, and they're Aryan. so maybe it's a misprint.
They were originally Aryan.
Yes.
Okay. They are now is not what they were then.
Yeah, that's right.
Other Mitanni texts show Indic words for numbers and colors. What happened then with the presumed Magyars? A likely explanation is the following. We have seen that the Chaldean kingdom of Babylon was actually a Shemitic realm.
Right.
Whose inhabitants and royal family were Babylonians, namely southern Assyrians. And the official language was Aramaic. But the most influential class were the Kasdim, who had their secret language, and that very likely was Sumerian.
Okay.
It is also the Sumerian religion that was adopted by the Shemitic, Akkadian, Assyrians, Arameans, originally monotheistic. A similar situation is feasible that happened in the enigmatic Hurrian Mitanni kingdom, concerning which the scholars have still not taken a definitive position about the relationship between the two peoples, whether the Mitanni were the subduers or just the denomination of the Hurrian ruling class. The most likely hypothesis is that the Mitanni took control of the Hurrian lands in the same way as the Israelites did in Canaan. It seems that the Hurrians, in fact, did not have a unified state, but had their own self-governing tribal unities. Some of them were also in Canaan, Hivites, Jebusites, that's Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Yebusi, okay, and another country in the south around Mount Seir that would be, mm-hmm. that was subdued by the Edomites. So the Mitanni conquered the Hurrian territories in Subartu and organized them in a solid state able to compete with their Hittite and Assyrian neighbors and to make treaties with Egypt. Such a state would have obviously adopted the language of the majority population. And even the rulers may have very well taken Hurrian names and religion in the same way as peoples of different ethnicities adopted Christianity and Western names, or Islam and Arabic names.
Or like the Khazars adopted Judaism.
There you go.
From
there
the Hittites. There you go.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The second possibility is that the Mitanni were like the Kasdim, not the royal family, but the most influential social class. Though this should not be the case in this period, but maybe later, after the Mitanni kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians.
Okay, let's take a look. Yeah, let's take a look at Palestine in the days of the Pharisees. Were not the Pharisees such a powerful sect that the king, the various kings after John Hyrcanus were afraid of them?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this could be the same situation here. The priesthood in these various nations were a very powerful caste. Right?
All right, all the way up into Roman times, the Romans had to deal with these people. They were still a force to be reckoned with.
Right, right. So he may just be overlooking, you know, these people could be a priesthood, and that the term Chaldean or Kasdim is a reference to the priesthood, also called Magi, and the various names of the tribes are the tribes that had such priests tagging along with them. That's probably, you know, what was going on here. Now, interestingly, he suggests that maybe some of the original inhabitants of Canaan were not like evil tribes. Because remember, when Abraham first, when he encountered a Hittite king, the Hittite king that he bought the land from, Abraham and this, what the hell is his name? In any case, he was not a bad guy. Okay, so it could be that they became evil later on with their adoption.
When they mixed with Edom, with the evil seed line, things changed.
Right, so maybe these were Mitanni who eventually adopted these Canaanite deities, okay, and became evil, and then that's when they became known as Hittites. All right.
Well, what is the problem with Canaan himself? He was a child of incest. Mm-hmm. He was cursed seed. And when he mixed with the people of the land, they became cursed seed. And they were the Canaani, which also means merchant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what a Canaani is.
Right.
There will no more the Canaani be in the temple of Yahweh, in the house of the Lord. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
The merchant.
That day, right?
The merchant.
Yes.
And who are the merchants of today?
Yep. Okay. Edomites.
I mean, there we go.
Edomites, right? Khazars, right?
Okay.
Okay, so the Assyrians introduced a new ethnic element in the land of the Hurrians, the exiled Israelites of the northern tribes. Quote, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Ashur took Shomron and carried Israel away to Ashur, and placed them in Halak, and in the Havor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of Madai. There are some controversial opinions concerning the exact location of these places mentioned in the scriptures, as they have been equated with Balkh and the Khyber Pass, or Bukhara, or even the Caucasus and the Volga Basin, where cities like Samara and Kazan remind us of Samaria and Gozan. Identifications that, if they were proven right, would simply simplify our task, as these are the lands where, with certainty, the Hungarians have dwelled since old. Yet, I prefer to discard all these supposed identifications and keep a more conservative line. Although it is certain that the Assyrians extended their conquest beyond the Caucasus, it is also written that, quote, Israel was carried away out of their own land to Ashur, 2 Kings 17:23. And this implies that the land of exile was comprised within the territory of Ashur, Assyria. Therefore, these toponyms are rather the same as the Assyrian Halahu and Guzana, districts of the empire in the former Hurrian kingdom, or the former Hungarian kingdom. Only the cities of the Medes are outside of this region, quite more eastwards. And I'll just read this very short paragraph here. The Assyrians, as all the other nations, had a circle of astrologers close to the king, and it is certain that they appointed some of the Israelites within this special class as well as ministers. Okay? So these Chaldean priests were all over the place because they were obviously the oldest priesthood going, and they would be respected wherever their names were mentioned. Back to you.
Absolutely. They gave a lot of advice, but they were also involved in divination, mm-hmm. which is against the commands that Yahweh has given.
Right.
I mean, they had their function and they had knowledge. Okay. Even the devil will give some knowledge to his people. He might twist it. But they're going to, the knowledge of good and evil, you know. Mm-hmm. There's so much more than meets the eye. There are more, I don't want to get into the woo-woo stuff, but there's more than one dimension. Okay, we cannot go between the dimensions right now because we've lost our divine bodies. That will change when Yeshua Messiah comes back, and the remnant will be changed. And then we will be invincible, and these devils that we're fighting today, they're in a world of hurt.
Right.
They don't know what's coming, but it's coming. When Babylonians overran the Assyrian Empire, they did so in alliance with another people that was a rising power. The Medes, or Madai.
Mm-hmm.
It is a common mistake to identify the Medes with the Mitanni just because of the apparent name similarity. Madai with Mada, Mata, Maja. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? Madai. That's their Hebrew name. Although the Persian name of Media, it was also Mada, the Medes were a different people, or perhaps a group of associated tribes of which the Madai were the most relevant.
Okay.
Quoting again the Hungarian scholar Alfred Hamore, Cyaxares was the next Mede ruler. Their attack was unsuccessful, partly because the Scythians under Madia sided with the Assyrians. It is clear that a name resemblance may be misleading. The enigmatic Scythian leader called Madias was against the Medes.
Hmm.
This scholar also asserts that Scythians and Medes may have common roots,
right,
but developed separately.
Well, the Scythians were also well known for their horsemanship.
Right.
And their bow skills. The Scythians fought Alexander the Great to a standstill. They were such
horse archers that would ride round and round and round the troops and just keep firing into the body of troops that were going to hit somebody. And they had great big quivers full of arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And when they run out, they leave the line and go to a resupply. They pulled that quiver off, put a whole new quiver full on.
Right.
And just went back to twanging that bow.
Yeah.
Zap,
right.
Zap, zap, zap. And anybody that thinks a bow can't take you down, you're crazy, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they fought the Greeks to a standstill.
Yeah.
That's how what good horsemen and bowmen they were. Back to you.
Yes. This scholar also asserts that Scythians and Medes may have common roots but developed separately, as the Scythians were mainly nomads, while the Medes were city dwellers.
There you go.
Oh, man.
This is hard work, folks.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah.
This may be enough reason to find both parties on different fronts. On the other hand, also Assyrians distinguished the Medes from the Mitanni. In the Assyrian records, the Medes are called Manda or Amadai.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning the geographic location, the Mitanni were to the west-northwest of Assyria, while Media was to the east-southeast. In fact, the Assyrian accounts report that Shalmaneser III received tribute from the Amadai from his wars against the tribes of the Zagros, that's Media.
Mm-hmm.
Among the names of the Mede kings, two are definitely Indo-Aryan. Kshatrita, that's Fraortes, and Huakshatra, Syaxares. Between them ruled Magyos, the Scythian. What kind of Scythian was this Magyos?
A Magyar.
and Askuza, or a Magyar, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's quite possible that the Madai and the Scythians were united in battle against other people and were therefore associated, maybe even had a common king. All right? That was
a common thing. Or at least a pretty strong political alliance.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for a common defense of their territory.
Right.
So, because there were migrating and wandering tribes, warlike tribes all over the place in those days. Mm-hmm. So, that's quite possible. But if they're both Shemitic, the Scythians would be, my position has always been that the Scythians are a combination of Hebrews and Yavan, or Ham, Shem, Japheth, Japhetic people.
Yawan, that's Greece.
Right. And then, but they migrated north instead of west, like the Greeks did, okay? So, and then, but this was, this whole area east of the, Sea of Aral. That entire area east of the Sea of Aral was just loaded with these Indo-Aryan tribes roaming all over the place. Okay, so back to you.
All right. Next section. I don't know whether I agree with all of this, but let's get into it. At present, there is a people that claims direct descent from the Medes, the Kurds. Okay.
And they live up in the mountains.
Right.
They're
it is significant that they are genetically close to Armenians, Southern Italians, Hungarians, and Ashkenazi Jews.
Yeah, well, Jews would have wandered through there too, right? Yeah. Japheth.
This is not quite surprising, as the Israelite exiles dwelled in that areas for centuries. Intermarrying was unavoidable, mainly because many of those Israelites were no longer observing the whole of the... And they
Mosaic.
Have the Judaic rules,
yeah.
The Torah. Okay,
right.
Not Judaic rules.
Yeah, Torah, yeah.
The Torah is not Judaic.
So here he's confusing Israelites with Jews, right? So,
right.
But basically what he's saying is true. I'd say the Pharisees, any Pharisees that wandered up there, would not have associated with the indigenous people, but would have either been a trader or wandered through to other territories.
Right.
Okay. But
right.
Israelites, on the other hand, would have mingled with them because they're the same people. Back to you.
The Kurds are still dwelling in the land of northern Israelite exile, namely ancient Assyria and Haran.
Very good.
Meanwhile, what happened with the Hurrians and Mitanni, of whom there is no mention since they were conquered by the Assyrians? What happened to them? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After the fall of Nineveh, they were subject to Babylon and then to the Medo-Persian Empire. In this later period, most Hurrians, with part of the exiled Israelites, emigrated eastward and founded Khwarezm. They had to pass by the Medes' land, and it is not excluded that some Mitanni settled among them, or among the Scythians of Media. In fact, the land of the Medes covered a vast territory. In 836 BCE, the Assyrian king Shalmaneser III received tribute from them after his campaign against the peoples of the Zagros Mounts. Mm-hmm. Then in 715 BCE, Sargon II subjected them up to the far mountain Bichni, that's Elburz, okay, and the borders of the desert that is in Khorasan. They remained under Assyrian rule until the fall of Nineveh. However, concerning the Mitanni, it is likely that a consistent group of them settled in Atropatene, modern Azerbaijan, as that land was called Mada, in fact, as well as many scholars still do. The Greek historians did not distinguish the Medes, the Madai of the Bible, Manda, Amadai of the Assyrian inscriptions, Madai of the Medo-Persian records, from the Mada of Atropatene. They confused both people so badly that they even called Ecbatana the capital of the Mada. According to pre-Hellenic documents, there was no other city named Ecbatana beside the best one in Media, the present-day Hamadan.
Okay. All right, we only have a couple of minutes left, so I think maybe we can devote one more show to this subject because it is very interesting. All those peoples of the East, to the east of the 12 tribes, it's pretty much a mystery who they were, where they came from, etc., etc. So this author is really, he's making some excellent points that clear up some of the confusion. And, you know, we get the different, I see in a couple sentences down, he talks about the Zoroastrians and probably another Magi cult, the Zoroastrians. So I think maybe do one more show on this subject because it is demonstrating very clearly that the vast majority of these tribes were of Aryan stock and or Shemitic stock, which is also Aryan. And I'm not sure he's aware of that. I'm not sure he's aware that Shemitic and Aryan are the same racial stock. Okay. So we'll see. All right. So, let's do one more show on this.
I think we're going to have to do more than one show, brother.
Okay.
I'm looking down. There's all kinds of stuff before this ends. I think we're going to have to do two shows at least.
All right. Yeah, so he even talks about the Essenes. Yeah, it's a very lengthy document. So maybe we can scan it, maybe do two more shows and scan through the more important stuff and hone it down a little bit because there's actually so much information in this document that it's hard to keep everything straight. You know, you almost have to have a chart, a dispersion chart for all of these different tribes and all these peoples. And even he says, the Madai and the Medes are not the same. It's hard to keep them distinct and identify them. So anyway, we'll do our best. So thanks for listening, folks. But this is very interesting, talking about the Hungarians' origin in their Indo-Aryan people. I think we can conclude that that's what they are, probably descended from the Sumerians, pre-flood Sumerians, etc., etc. So thanks for listening. Praise Yah. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Bye. Yahweh bless.
Okay.